Very often people don't know to ask questions about this area of halacha, but it is an area of halacha that's very critical and applies to each and every one of our lives. That is about returning merchandise. If you buy something, when are you allowed to return it? When are you not allowed to return it? When are you allowed to ask the store to give you a refund, not ask the store to give you a refund? I'm sure many of you are familiar. If you go to Costco on the Monday morning after the Super Bowl, you will find people returning large flat-screen TVs that they had purchased on Sunday morning before the Super Bowl, because there are people that realize that the Super Bowl is coming up and that their TV stinks and that Costco has all these really great TVs. So they figure they might as well rent it for free. They could buy it for a day and return it the next day. Costco has a generous return policy. They'll get all their money back, and you know, everyone wins except for Costco. So it seems like a great deal. So is that permissible? Is that not permissible? When is one allowed to return something? When is not? There are people that women that will have a dress to wear to a fancy fair or something, but they don't have the right shoes to match. So they only need the shoes once. They're not going to need these shoes more than once. So they'll buy the shoes, they'll wear them once, and then they'll return them after wearing them only once. So what are the ethics and the halachos of returning items? So the first halacha, before anything else, is that there is an isser of Gnevas Das. And the isser of Gnevas Das is something we've discussed many times. The Gemara says in Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalet, it's asur lignov das habrios, afilu das akum, even the das of an Ovid Chavim, it's asur to practice Gnevas Das against anybody. And therefore, it would seem to me very clear that if you are buying something in a store, and you have no intention whatsoever of even potentially keeping it, that's not even the furthest thing from your mind, is to actually buy it. Your intention is purely to use it for one day. That is a blatant violation of Gnevas Das, and therefore doesn't even enter this whole sugya of returning things. Forget about the halachos and ethics of returning things. It's just simply Gnevas Das. So a person is already clearly, if someone has no intention whatsoever of buying something, that is clearly prohibited. But when you do buy something that you do intend to keep, and then you think about it a little more, you're like, you know what, I don't really need this, I want to return it. So is that okay? Can a person return something? So what's important to realize is that when you buy something, you give your money and you take the product. What has happened is a transaction was made, which means that it's not that you are returning the store's product to get your money back. No, the product is now yours. The money now belongs to the store. So that's the way a person has to look at it. And therefore, what's the halacha in general? If you have something and I want it, you have that very nice computer, and I would really like that computer, and I would like to trade it for this stack of papers right here. Here, I'll give you these papers. Come on, please, please. I'm your Rebbe. You got to do it for me. You know, what violation is that? That's a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. That's a violation of one of the Aseret Dibros. Which one of the Aseret Dibros? No, not L'Sirtzach, just kidding. It's a violation of L'Sachmod, that you're not allowed to covet something that doesn't belong to you. So by pressuring someone to give me something that doesn't belong to me, that's a violation of L'Sachmod. So if you're in a situation where you're not allowed to return something, and you try to get the store to take it back, it wasn't damaged or anything, and you try to get the store to take it back, that's a violation of L'Sachmod. So that's Yesod number two. Yesod number three is that the right to return something is often governed by halacha, meaning is it considered damaged enough to be allowed to return it? Is it, what are the assumptions that are made? But it's more governed by minhag hamakom, and return policies override everything. Meaning when there's a return policy in the store that they say, we accept returns up till 10 days after purchase, after 10 days, we don't accept returns. So that is considered to be a condition, an agreement that's made between buyer and seller. When the buyer buys it, as long as he's aware of that return policy, or it was clearly indicated, the return policy was clearly indicated to him, he has agreed to that condition. We're allowed to make conditions on a davar shemamon and anything that relates to money, and this is certainly a monetary matter, so the conditions are therefore binding. Therefore, if a person buys something from a store that says absolutely no returns, and then you change your mind and decide you don't want it, it's not damaged, let's say, you just don't want it, it is usur to try to pressure the store to take it back. Even if, you know, they have the right to say no, but that's a violation of lo sachmo. That's usur to try to pressure the store to take it back. If a store has a very generous return policy, and you did, like Costco, let's say, and you did not practice any genevis das by buying it, you really thought you wanted that, waffle maker, and then you realize, wait, I never eat waffles. So you want to now you want to return the waffle maker. The halacha is, since they have a generous return policy, and that's understood meikara that they have a generous return policy, and you weren't going to das, you really thought you wanted it. So even though it's not damaged, nothing wrong with it, you're allowed to return it 3 months later. If that's their policy, if they're okay with that, then they're bound by that policy, every much as we are bound by that policy. So those are some of the basics. Now, what would be enough to determine? So up until now, we've been talking about if everything's fine with the merchandise, if it's totally okay. What if the merchandise is defective? So can you be mevatel the mekach? See, when the merchandise is defective, you might say that it's not a violation of the sachmo to ask them to take it back, because it was never a sale to begin with. I didn't buy this. I was supposed to buy something that was in good condition, and this is in bad condition. So how much of a mistake has to be made in order to say that we're mevata the mekach? So if it's something that can be counted or weighed or measured, you're buying a dozen eggs, and then you got home and three of the eggs were cracked. And let's assume you know for sure that it didn't happen in your car. You know, you open it up right after in the supermarket line, you see that three of the eggs have already been cracked in the supermarket. So it's really only 9 eggs, or 10 eggs, or 11 eggs. So the halacha is, you cannot be mevatel the mekach, but you can insist that they provide, that they're mashlim the number. Meaning you can't say, if let's say that you bought the dozen eggs, you realize now that there are only 11 in the thing, and you also realize that the store next door sells it for half the price. So you're not allowed to say, give me my money back and take the eggs back, I'm going to go buy it somewhere else. No, the sale is binding, but you can demand that they fill in the price. That's halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Lamed Beis of Chosh Mishpat, Si'if Aleph. That if you agreed for 100 at Gozim, he uses a Gozim, and it turns out that it was Kuf Aleph, Otsadi Tes, Nikna Hamekach, Umachzira Taus. So the Mekach is binding, you just have to return what the mistake. However, the Sma over there points out that in his opinion, and this is Machlokes HaPoskim, the Sma says, what if, the Sma suggests that halach is only true if they gave you too much of something. But if they gave you too little of something, then maybe you could be mevatel the mekach. Because if you agreed to buy 12 eggs for $1.99, and they only gave you 11 eggs for $1.99, the original transaction was never complete, because they never gave you the full product that they were supposed to give you. If they gave you the full product, they just did it, and then they added to it, they gave you too much, so then you have to give back the extra one, and the mekach is binding. You can't say that the whole mekach is null and void. But the Sma suggests if they gave you too few, then maybe you can suggest that the mekach is null and void. That's what the Sma writes in Sifkat and Dalit. What if it's not a numbers thing? It's just a defect in the merchandise. So the halacha is, Magen Mishnah writes in the 15th parak of Hilchas Mechira, halach is, if there's a defect in the merchandise, so it could be that you'll be allowed to return that merchandise, but, says the Magen Mishnah, if you're looking at a defect in the merchandise saying, therefore this isn't a valid sale, this wasn't really a purchase, I never really bought this, so what you're in effect saying is, this item that I have now is not mine, I didn't buy it. I'm trying to make the sale null and void me'ikara. So when I return it, I'm going to get my money back. It's not, right? It's not that the store has its money and I have its product. No, I have my product. This product still belongs to the store. And therefore, you're not allowed to use it, because you're not allowed to use something that doesn't belong to you. So if you plan on returning something, it's usur based on the idea that it's defective, and that's why you have to return it. You're not allowed to use it in the meantime, because if it's defective and that's why you're returning it, being vatal the mekach, says the Magen Mishnah, and therefore if you continue to use it, you forego your right to return it. by using it, you're foregoing your right, because you are declaring that it's not defective enough for me to be mevatel the mekach, that otherwise I'm stealing by using it, and I certainly don't want to be someone who's stealing. So what determines what's called a defect that makes it returnable or not? So usually it's based on the common custom in the local place where you are. Even if it's let's say a very expensive item and it's just a tiny little detail in the item, it's not really that costly, but if the common practice is that it's that people would return in that situation, so then you're governed by whatever the common practice is. If it's a defect that should have been noticed, that you should have noticed, that anyone normally would notice, so it could be that it's considered that it's a mechila already at the time of the purchase, and you cannot return it. If, let's say, the defect is something that's easily fixed by the storekeeper, so the storekeeper can say, the sale is still binding, but let me fix it. I'll fix it, and then the sale would still be binding. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Reish Lamed Beis, Se'if Hey. What about food? A person, a lot of times, they'll someone will be at a restaurant and they'll say, "Nah, this isn't good. This isn't as delicious as I thought it would be. So I want something else instead, or I want my money back, or is that okay to do?" So the halacha is that it would have to be something that would make the food inedible, or disgusting to eat, or unappetizing to eat. If it's just not to your taste, you saw something on the menu and it looked good on the menu, but it's not really, it's a little spicier than you thought it would be, so that's not enough of a reason to return something. But if it's spoiled or infected, let's say, infested rather, with insects or something like that, so that you could certainly return, provided that it was already spoiled or infested at the time you took it home from the store. You speak to people who own food stores, they'll tell you someone will come back with milk 3 weeks later and say, "Oh, this milk is spoiled." Well, you bought it 3 weeks ago. I don't know, how do I know it wasn't sitting in the trunk of your car for the last 3 weeks? So it has to, the burden of proof would be on the buyer in that situation. If it's iffy, if we can go either way, the burden of proof is on the buyer to be able to prove that something happened. What if you bought something and then you discovered it was non-kosher? A woman texted me last week that she had bought bread, and then she discovered that the hashkacha on the bread was a notoriously unreliable hashkacha, and dairy. The bread itself was dairy, which should have given the indication that it was an unreliable hashkacha, because you're not allowed to have dairy bread. So can you return it based on the fact that it's not kosher? So something that's not kosher, certainly the most stores have a return policy that if you haven't opened the package yet, and it's most of the supermarkets, if you haven't opened the package yet and just bought it that day, you can certainly return it that day in most supermarkets. I don't think they give you a problem with that, and that would be fine. What if you ate it already? You bought it from a Jew. Can you say, I can't believe you sold me something that was not kosher, now pay me back, even though I ate it already, I want the money back. So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, in Chosh Mishpas and Reish Lamed Dalid, this is where that famous Nesivus is in Reish Lamed Dalid, about Isra Chefz and Isra Gavra, the halacha is that if it's an Isra Daraisa, then you're allowed to say you want your money back, even though you already ate it, because you ate something that you didn't want to have to eat, and you violated this Isra. But if it's an Isra Drabbanan, then an Isra Drabbanan B'shogeg is not considered an Isra at all, and you cannot ask for your money back, unless it's an Isra Hana'a. Let's say you buy chametz after Pesach, not realizing that it was chametz shavar lava Pesach. That's an Isra Hana'a Midrabbanan, that you can get your money back, even after having returned it. So I guess the main thing to... and one more important point, Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Reish Lamed Beis, when you do return something, what the store owes you is money, not merchandise, money. Meaning, if the sale wasn't valid and you're returning it because of a defect, that means the sale wasn't valid. That means they have to give you money. They can't say, "Oh no, just take something else." They have to give you your money back. Again, provided that there's no store policy. If the store policy was made clear to you and you agreed to it at the time of purchase, that there are no cash refunds, only product refunds, then you're bound by that. So that's the... I keep forgetting things. One more important detail, I don't remember if I mentioned it before. I said before that it's Kenevas Das to buy something that you have no intention of keeping whatsoever. I think there's one major exception to that, and that is by online shopping. A lot of times if you want to buy a pair of shoes online, so you're not sure exactly which one is going to fit you right. So when you go to a shoe store, you try them on, and the one that fits is the only one that you buy. You don't buy the ones that don't fit. So a lot of people do online is they'll buy three of them. They know they're either a size 8, 9, or 10, so they'll buy, or they're around size 9, so they'll buy 8.5, 9, 9.5, and they'll keep whichever one fits them best, and they'll return the other two. They never intended on buying and keeping three pairs of shoes. That, I think, is permissible, because that's sort of the industry standard when it comes to online shopping, meaning someone who's running an online store with the money that they're saving by not having to pay for retail space, and the money that they're making by having the online, the reach of the World Wide Web, they understand that part of that business model is that very often they'll have to ship three pairs of shoes for a person to buy only one. So I think in that case, that would not be a violation of Gnevis Das to buy three with the intention of keeping one. To buy three with the intention, or to buy anything with the intention of keeping zero, that's a problem. But with the intention of keeping one, I think with online shopping, that might be an exception to the rule. Yeah.
About going to a clothing store that has like an unlimited return policy, like you can return any day, but if you return, you have to get back store credit. And the product is usually like when you buy the product, you know it's like it's not like the best of quality. You know it's eventually going to wear out for like 4 or 5 months. But you're not getting your money back. You're getting back store credit. Does that any difference?
If it's a policy of the store, and you know, and everyone agreed to the policy, so then you go with the store policy, then it's fine. As long as the best situation is where store policies are clearly laid out. Sometimes in these like ma and pa stores, you know, like these local small places, it's not so clear. Or sometimes like you feel like, you know, the store says no returns after 10 days. But, you know, the guy that owns the store is your neighbor. Like, you know the guy, you know? So you'll come back 12 days later. You're like, come on, you know, you would have taken it 2 days ago. I just didn't have time, to get here. That's a violation of Lo Sachmut. That's an Issa D'Oraisa to do that, because you agreed to that policy, and therefore the sale is final for you to pressure him to give money back or to give a product back, and that would be a violation of Lo Sachmut. That's the most common violation of it.
Even if you know when you buy it,